Slow news weekend, Doug.
Yeah, slow news.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hey, Doug, there's the whole country's buzzing.
It's a buzz.
I guess they're talking about the signatures we submitted, triple the number we needed to submit.
Well, I saw that the Associated Press ran a piece, and it was picked up by dozens of newspapers from Kansas City to Panama City, Florida, to Atlanta, Georgia.
All over the place.
My Google alert was, my inbox was full of articles regarding that we turned in nearly three times the number of signatures required.
Three times. And I have, now this is a bit of inside information, but I have a note here to call an Associated Press reporter who wants to do an interview about Diana DeGette.
Diana DeGette, yes. I got to see her at the parade.
They want to know what's with Diana DeGette. She is like the abortion poster child of the country.
Yes, the heir apparent to Pat Schroeder, if I'm not
mistaken. Pat Schroeder. Yeah. So Diana DeGette was handpicked to sit in the abortion chair at the House of Representatives.
Right. The abortion chair formerly chaired by Pat Schroeder.
Child killer extraordinaire. So I'll be happy to return this call
and do
the interview. I'll have to do that right after the show.
That'd be fantastic. I saw Diana DeGette at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. She was sitting up in an uncovered car, a convertible, sitting up top on the back seat, waving to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like she was the Queen of England or something. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
And what was nice was I was at the end of the parade, and her entire cadre of people had to walk within spitting distance of me. And none of them spit on me, but I think I scared them because I was very loud.
Oh.
And I was reminding Diana DeGette that she was a murderer.
She's a child killer.
Yeah, she's a child killer.
All right. And child killers are not going to be judged kindly by history or by God on Judgment Day.
No, they are not.
So whether they're Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
But so is that what the buzz has been about all over the country?
No, the biggest buzz does regard cars, though. Let me just bounce this headline off you.
Yeah.
You know, now that we're finished with signatures, we can move on to other stories.
We can do smaller stories that are in the news.
Yeah.
Things happening in the country.
There's been a big buzz around cars over the last few weeks. So just let me hit you with this headline. Tell me what you think. This is a headline from the Associated Press today. Car collides with school bus. Toyota Camry driver dies. So what would you think of it?
The implication is the Toyota accelerator got stuck or something and killed the driver.
Right. That's what
I thought. That's the implication.
That's just the headline, which most, you know, average Americans, they don't have time to read all the news. They scan the headlines, you know.
Right.
On their coffee break.
So that's what it is? It was an acceleration problem?
First of all, it was a 1993 Toyota Camry.
Mm.
Now, the recall goes back, I think, to 02. The alleged problem.
And if there was such a problem, this car had been on the road for 17 years, accelerating all by itself.
But also the driver.
So cruise control without the feature.
Right. It's like most Toyotas. It was on the road for 17 years before it needed any service.
Right.
After it hit the bus. Anyway, the Camry was driven by a 73-year-old driver, and the authorities believe he suffered some type of medical problem before the collision.
Oh.
A sad story, no doubt.
Very sad story.
But the headline is just a little bit deceiving.
The headline implies normally it would be driver killed in the accident, not Camry.
Right. They wouldn't say it's
a game they're playing.
It's a feeding frenzy.
The hype, as though Toyota was responsible for the guy's mental illness.
Right. Whatever.
So is this an AP story?
This is the Associated Press.
So are they shareholders to Government Motors?
Well, I don't know. Is AP owned by the government yet?
It might be. Let's see. The government is now owning banks and insurance companies and stockbrokers and health providers.
Yeah, they took over the student loans and health care last night.
So they did?
Well, yeah. Speaking of other stories that,
what happened?
That pale in comparison to the importance of personhood.
Yeah.
And it was like it was the same similar feeling I had when I woke up the morning Barack Obama was elected.
Yeah.
Because it's something you knew was going to happen. But
yeah.
But then when it actually happened.
You said this 6 months ago on your show.
I made the bold prediction.
People could find your show on kgov.com. Just click on
Doug
McBurney's show.
Click the link. Go look back in, I think, November of 2009 when the House first passed the first iteration.
Mm-hmm.
I said then that this is it. It's all over, folks.
It's a done deal.
Cash in your chips and move to wherever. I don't think there's anywhere to move, though, yeah. Unfortunately.
We could all go to Tonga.
Tonga.
Tonga is a Christian monarchy
country
in the South Pacific.
But it's so hot.
Yeah, let's
not
go there.
I like to see the seasons change. But anyway, it was the similar feeling last night when I turned on the television, seeing that Congress had actually passed this.
The House.
What do you call it?
I think it's called Romneycare.
Yeah, they passed.
They passed Romneycare.
It's a larger package.
No, Obamacare.
Obamacare.
Now, it doesn't pay for the late-term abortion on demand like Romneycare.
Yeah, at least not yet.
But other than that, it's similar. It's broadly similar.
Yeah, it's basically a mandate that says you have to buy insurance and you have to buy from certain exchanges, and unless you can afford to buy from one of the insurance companies, if any survive this, which is highly unlikely. So the 50% of healthcare that was still involved in the free enterprise system is no longer going to be involved in the free enterprise system.
Well, the government, why is it wrong? And by the way, Doug, some people said, I told some folks we're going to talk about healthcare on the show today, and they said, a small group of guys at a coffee shop, aren't you a little bit late now? Aren't you a little bit late, Bob?
Yeah, right.
And we were very involved in the personhood effort. We tripled the number of signatures required. We turned them in to get ballot access to stop the killing of children in Colorado and in this country. And meanwhile, the country is invested in this debate over health care.
Yeah.
And if we could go back in history to Germany when they are slaughtering the Jews by the hundreds of thousands, and there were Germans marching in Berlin complaining about their poor health care and how expensive it was, I really couldn't give a rip.
No, that's the epitome of a footnote in history. Right?
Yeah.
That's a footnote in history.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
so I really couldn't give a rip. So this is wicked. This is tragic. Most of the Republican talk show hosts can't say why this is wrong. They say it'll be more expensive. It won't be. They don't say that this is similar to what the Conservative Heritage Foundation came up with 20 years ago. They don't say that.
No.
They don't say this is similar to what Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts. They don't say that.
A Republican.
They don't say this doesn't fund abortion as extensively as Mitt Romney did with Massachusetts healthcare reform.
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that on Rush or Sean.
They
or
don't
Levin
say that, but they do criticize it because it's going to be more expensive. It won't be as effective.
Right.
And what they should be able to teach their audience is that this is wrong because God said, "Thou shall not steal."
Wow.
That's why this is wrong. That's why welfare is wrong. Socialism is wrong because government does have a just function to provide infrastructure like roads and bridges and waterways.
Yeah.
And to provide for a defense against criminals and invading armies and so on.
Sounds logical.
Military, criminal justice, and infrastructure, but not to make sure that my children have a house and food.
And education.
Education, health care. To do that, you have to take money by force from my neighbor to give my kids housing and health care and all.
Right.
And that's called stealing. So how do you know if something is a right?
What do you think?
How do you know if something is a right?
Well, if it's something that can be enforced by
force. If it could be enforced. Enforced means force, right?
Enforced, it has force right in the word.
Right, it does. So you think of the baseball bat understanding of rights.
The baseball bat understanding.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me. I like the sound of it.
If you can justly use a baseball bat to enforce your so-called right, then it is a right.
Okay, so let's say my right to life.
Your right to life.
Okay.
So your neighbor is coming over or you're out in the street, wherever. Your neighbor is going to kill you or kill a loved one or even an innocent bystander.
Right.
And you have a baseball bat. You could use it to enforce your right to life or your neighbor's right to life. Yeah. And the one who's coming to take away that right, you can use the baseball bat and swing it as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And hit him wherever you happen to hit him.
Okay. I think that sounds logical.
Even in the head.
Well, what about the right?
If necessary.
Let's say that
it's a right, so you can use force to defend that right.
And there are a number of other rights. The right to liberty, the right to free speech, the right to the free exercise of religion.
Yeah.
If someone is stopping you by force.
Yeah. If you're unjustly locked up.
Yeah. Your liberty's been taken
away. Woman who's kidnapped by a man who wants a female slave.
Yeah, and he's got her locked in the trunk, and she manages to escape.
And get a baseball bat.
Right.
And he comes home at night, comes through the door, and she whacks him in the forehead as hard as she could hit him.
Yeah.
And even kills him. Is she committing a crime? No, because she is exercising her right to life and liberty.
So that logic tests out.
It does.
You can test that logic.
Yeah. And so the right to health care. My child breaks his leg.
Okay, I don't like that. I like your child. I hate the fact that his leg is broken.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
It's painful. In fact, it's sort of hanging crooked, you know?
I don't like the sound.
And so I'd like him to get health care because I don't want to set it myself because it probably won't do it right.
Right. So he needs to see a professional, which is going to cost a significant amount of money.
So do I have the justification to take my bat and go to my neighbor's house and say, I'm low on funds right now. Give me money for me to set my kid's leg in a cast. And he says, get out of here. And I start to use my bat force because I say my right to health care justifies me using force to take your money. No, that's not valid.
No. Well, and that's the most clear explanation of why this is wrong.
Yeah, you do not have a right to health care, so the government cannot, by force, take money from your neighbor to give. And when governments do, what happens when governments provide for children their food, shelter, education, health care? What's the effect to families?
Well, their parents end up on that show, Hoarders. They're just complete. They become bums and losers.
Well,
have you seen that show?
No,
they're all on welfare.
I heard of it. People who collect a lot of things.
Not collect. Their house looks like a garbage dump because they're just bums and they're lazy.
Well, when the government's going to take care of your kids, then you don't absolutely have to.
Yeah. It frees up your time to do irresponsible things.
You could drink yourself into a stupor over the weekend and not show up to work Monday morning. Because you don't have to worry that your children will lose their housing, education, and health care.
Right.
And you could be fired from 6 or 8 jobs as a young adult because your kids are going to have food.
Mm.
And so the very thing that motivates children to grow up to be responsible parents, socialism robs that our children need us.
Right.
So our children don't need us. They don't need church. They don't need their neighbors. They don't need God. They have the government.
Yeah, and that motivation of needing one another,
right?
That comes from God. So this socialist idea
comes from God.
Is a direct rebellion against the authority that God has established.
That's right. And so these kids that they say they're so concerned about, and the Republicans are equally so concerned about these kids. Doug, they voted against this, from what I can tell.
I think they did, yeah.
But if it was George W. Bush doing a massive government healthcare takeover of $1 trillion of prescription drug benefits entitlement programs.
If something like that were to happen.
Then they'd all vote for it.
In some alternate universe.
All the Republicans and all the Republican talk show hosts would seem to find other topics to discuss.
Yeah, they'd be
And if it's Mitt Romney doing a massive government takeover of healthcare, which has been a colossal failure in Massachusetts, and he pays for late-term abortion on demand with tax dollars, the Republicans will say he is the best person in the country to be the president. We need Mitt Romney.
We need Mitt.
So you've been duped if you think that the Republicans are against government health care.
Yeah.
You've been duped.
Well, you know, the Republicans now, they have a giant issue to run on. They're going to dangle this in front of the gullible electorate.
Right.
Saying we will repeal. This morning, first thing you saw on Drudge was three different ads. Repeal the bill, repeal the
bill. And Mitt Romney is going to lead the fight to repeal Romney Care in Massachusetts. Let him do that first, the hypocrite, liar.
How gullible could we be?
All right, Doug, we got a call.
Let's go to the phone.
Out of the Twilight Zone.
Out of the Twilight Zone.
This call is coming in from 1997.
A call from 1997.
That's 13 years ago.
Actually, I'm thinking it might have been a little sooner. You might be right.
Yeah. Kelly, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Kelly, you got to tell us who you are. Doug McBurney and I are here in studio, and we're interested. You watched the Bob and Yurt Live TV show way back in the 90s.
Way back. It was one of those that was on really late at night.
Oh, yeah. And we still are on the weekends, you know?
Yeah. I didn't expect you to remember who I was, because you probably have lots of, you know, confrontational phone calls from people that don't agree with you to call in. But
well, we've had about 5,000 shows that we've done.
Yeah.
And so over 5,000 shows, you get a lot of calls. We've had hundreds of debates.
Yeah.
But Kelly, was your call confrontational? I think it was.
Yes, Kelly, plug us into the Wayback Machine. Take us
there. Yes, it was extremely confrontational. I was up late at night, and you were talking about the issue of homosexuality, and I was enraged.
Uh-oh.
And by the way, the gay community does check in on you.
Oh, they do.
Kelly, yes, you're sure you know that firsthand? I mean, you can tell us that for sure
absolutely. Because they're trying to get dirt on the things that you say.
Well, Kelly, years ago, here's what we said on this show, Bob and Yurt Live. We said, if you want to get the word out in the homosexual community, call up Bob and Yurt Live and say it on the air.
Because they're all watching.
And if you remember, Bob and Yurt
Live, I think that might have been it.
If you remember, Bob and Yurt Live was canceled for a week way back when.
Yeah.
And the Lambda Report on Channel 12 in Denver, that was the first weekly homosexual TV show in the nation.
I remember.
They went on the air and they had a bottle of champagne and they popped the cork and said, Bob and Yurt Live is off the air. It's canceled. So then that Monday night, our time slot came, Doug. We arranged to get back on the air.
Oh, I remember. I was watching.
You remember?
Of course.
And we came on with a black screen, and all you heard was, just when the homosexuals thought it was safe to turn on the TV, we're back, and Bob and Yurt Live started. So, Kelly, those are taking us way back.
So
yeah.
why were you so upset with Bob, Kelly?
Oh, it sounded condescending. It sounded mean, but here's what I've learned about that. Truth is offensive.
Wow.
It is. Truth is, and if you're speaking the truth in someone's life who's not following the truth, it's offensive.
Unavoidably offensive.
The truth is unavoidably offensive. Jesus said that he is the rock of offense.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And that he is the truth, and he offended most of the people that ended up encountering him. But Kelly, why were you offended way back when?
Because at that time I was in a lesbian relationship long term.
Oh, wow.
And I just felt that you were being condescending. And I do, in fact, remember that was the statement. That was the reason I called in, is because you did say, you know, if you're watching this, and you are, and poor, that just got me right there. Like, okay, we're going to go for it.
Oh, boy. Now, Kelly, I have a pretty vivid memory of any number of calls with lesbians during those years. You know, the media has changed since the 90s.
Yes.
There's now, cable has a couple hundred stations. Satellite has hundreds of stations. The internet and iPods and, you know, video games that look like real life. And so it's much more difficult to get liberals and non-Christians to tune into Christian radio or TV. So it is more difficult to get calls from people who disagree.
Well, let me assure you that the gay community does check in on you. They do check in on Focus on the Family. Mm. They're constantly trying to disprove or twist the things that you say. So, yes, they do check in.
Wow.
I would like to take the opportunity for the ones that are listening to tell them something very important.
All right, please do.
Because you claim you were born that way, if you think about it, it does not give you a license to break God's law.
Hmm.
And that was the excuse that I heard from most of the people that I knew. Well, I can't help it. I'm born this way. Why would a merciful God send me to hell because he created me and I'm born this way?
Hmm.
Well, I had a lot of those people after I became a Christian on September 30th, 2001. The
Praise
entire Lord. Workplace where I worked.
Wait,
was complete.
Wait, you became a Christian when, Kelly?
September 30th, 2001.
September 30th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, praise God. That was right after 9/11.
Yes, but oddly enough, that wasn't what did it.
Okay, that was happening in the background.
Right.
And the drama of your life.
Yeah, it wasn't the core reason for doing it.
Hmm.
But that's the excuse that I got a lot from a lot of people that were trying to understand how I could change.
Mm.
They said, you can't change who you are. And I sat back and said, okay.
That's such a fatalist, defeatist attitude.
Yes. Yeah.
How about people, now I'm not making a direct comparison. I'm only looking at the argument that I was born this way.
Mm-hmm.
And why would anybody choose this?
Mm-hmm.
But how about people who mainline heroin? How about
right.
people who rape children
right.
and say they're attracted to children? How about people who go after animals? I mean, to say I was born this way and I have no choice is a complete defeatist attitude.
Bob, you stole my thunder.
I apologize.
But that's the argument that I would give them. I said, if you take the subject away from homosexuality and you place it on something else, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy all said that they were born this way. They couldn't help it.
Wow.
So for them, do we give them a pass in being allowed to do whatever they want to do?
And Kelly, how about George W. Bush? Surely he was born that way.
That's right.
He was surely born a Bush. Why do they condemn him? I mean, why is any perversion acceptable because you were born that way? But not being a Republican.
Mm.
Why do they get so mad at Republicans? Why don't they just say, you know, some people are just born that way?
Yeah.
They don't, of course. They never would, right? They'd never give a pass to someone they viewed as conservative.
Right. Mm. No, not at all. But my argument to them was, you know, you're breaking man's law by murdering, raping, you know, children. And you claim that you can't help it because you're born that way. So should we let you do that? No, you're breaking man's law.
Wow.
Our law of the land says you can't do that, regardless if you're born that way.
Yeah.
So in the same sense, on the other side of the coin, God's law says, I'm sorry, you can't do this. 1 Corinthians 6:9, for these shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And here's the laundry list.
Wow.
And gay people get very, very upset when you pull out homosexuality, and it's like, no, no, no. Look, there are several other things in the mix here, not just homosexuality.
That's
so
right.
We're not just picking on you. An alcoholic chooses every day not to drink.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear of a homosexual activist named Wayne Besson? B-E-S-E-N?
No.
Wayne Besson, he's pretty well known. He has an organization called Truth Wins Out. And I got to debate him a while back, and we have quite a write-up on the internet. It's gone all over the country. And I've asked him if it's possible for a homosexual to be a child molester, if it's possible theoretically to be a homosexual child molester, and he says no. Doug, he says no.
Is that right?
And I say, well, you could be a heterosexual child molester. Mm. That would be a guy who molests girls. And a homosexual child molester would be a guy who molests boys. And he says, it's not possible.
But I think he's forgetting about the group called NAMBLA.
NAMBLA, yeah. The North American Man Boy Love
yeah.
Association,
yeah.
who meets, they meet in public libraries.
Yeah.
And Kelly, they say they were born this way and they need to be accepted.
It doesn't mean it's permissible.
Amen.
What did Paul say about, what did he say? Help me here. All things are are permissible, but not all things are beneficial.
Well, and that's for members of the body of Christ,
exactly,
who he says are not under the law. So that's a different theological topic.
I understand that. Yeah. But the word permissible just came into my head.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay,
sure.
Just because it's permissible doesn't mean I should do it.
Yeah, and just because you can do something and you have a propensity to do something doesn't mean you should do it, and doesn't mean that it's going to benefit you or
right.
our society in general.
Right.
If we all acted on our instinct of, I like that, I'm born that way,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then we would have chaos in humanity.
Well, and Bob, this is sort of a theological issue, but by saying you're born that way, aren't you just, you're identifying yourself with that behavior? You're saying, this is who I am, and on Judgment Day, you're going to meet your Creator, and are you right. going to say, this is who I am?
This
if you
is
do,
who you made me.
Yeah, if you do.
Well, think of the boss who has an affair with his secretary, cheats on his wife, destroys the life of his three kids, breaks up their family, and he says, I was born this way. This is who I am.
Governor of South Carolina.
That,
if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah,
isn't that the guy?
Yeah, I was born this
Mark
way.
Sanford, Bill Sanford, whatever his name
yeah.
is.
So we have a tragic excuse-making attitude that something that was so despicable has become an issue of pride, and people march down Main Street saying, look at me, I had an affair with my secretary. No, even worse, look at me, I'm a homosexual.
Yeah. Wow.
It's devastating. Kelly, so you came to the Lord, Jesus Christ, September 30th, 2001.
Yes,
and you know what, Kelly? The big story in heaven that day didn't have anything to do with terrorists or 9/11. The big story in heaven was Kelly got saved and the angels rejoiced. And everything mm-hmm. else was like a secondary
wow.
side story.
Well, and it was a whirlwind at work because nobody could believe it. Before I knew it, it had gotten all over the company, and people were literally coming to find me to look at me, to look at my eyes, because they didn't believe it.
Wow. Hey, Kelly, I have a cousin, I won't say his name, but his mother says she was cursed because of one of her sons, and her son is a homosexual, and she said, no, I'm not cursed because of that. My other son became a born-again Christian, so I'm cursed because of the Christian.
Oh.
So, and this is ostensibly a Christian family, Doug.
Yeah, well.
Well, so, the one thing, and I don't say this too often, but the one thing that I will state on your radio is that I am 100% delivered. I don't have issues or
praise God, Kelly.
Temptations. In fact, I hardly ever even talk about this anymore.
Yeah,
because it's so far removed from who I am.
From who you are.
Praise
well,
the Lord.
Kelly, let me ask you this: we're almost out of time. 20 seconds. But are we now friends?
Oh, absolutely.
Praise God.
I didn't know you were around anymore.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
I just happened to, you know, come across something that's, oh, is he still there? I wonder if he remembered the fight we had several years ago.
Oh, Kelly, what a joy to have you. Now, we used to sell Gay Away for men and Dyke Off for women.
Yes, we did.
We sold those. In fact, they were pretty expensive.
And apparently they were.
No. Hey, Kelly, our goal was to re-stigmatize the behavior so children who watch the show by the thousands would not be tempted to try homosexuality.
I would say don't. It's a nightmare from where it's really hard to return.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, Kelly.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
Appreciate that. Our call screener is picking up the line. Doug McBurney, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And our website is kgov.com. There's a home listed for sale in Arvada at 7100 Newman that you must see to appreciate. This home of 3,500 square feet sits on 2.3 secluded acres that are zoned agricultural with waterfalls and water rights. Bring the family, horses, and even livestock. Listed at $455,000, this is $80,000 under the current appraised value. For more information or to schedule a showing, please call Sharon Bean, Dynamic Properties of Colorado, 303-358-9859, 303-358-9859.